Hi there, I'm Hannah Schofield, known as Kate. I'm based at Plymouth University in the United Kingdom, and I'm going to speak today about the nitrogen dynamics in artificial soils at the Eden Project in Cornwall, which has formed a major part of my PhD study. So artificial soils are designed to bypass the long timescales associated with natural soil formation, whilst also mimicking the natural soil properties required for healthy plant growth. One of the main benefits of artificial soils is that it may be produced or designed to fulfil a specific function. Applications include research, where they've been quite commonly used in toxicity testing, and also in restorative projects, perhaps where soils have been degraded to the point where they need replacing or contaminated. So my case study was at the Eden Project in Cornwall, which is a large-scale environmental and educational facility. It's built in a china clay pit just in southwest England, and at the time of building it had no soil. So they wanted, rather than to deprive anyone else of their soil and take a good quality agricultural soil and place it here, they wanted to create their own. And in doing so, they created 83,000 metric tons of soil. The Eden Project today is split into three ecological zones. There's an outdoor biome which represents a temperate climate, such as that in southwest UK. The humid tropics biome, which represents a range of countries and plants. And then the Mediterranean biome, which includes both Mediterranean plants, South African, and also similar Californian types. You can see here in the top picture, there's the a photo of the Eden Project. That's the human tropics biome in 2000 before any soil was applied. And then that was taken in September, the lower picture, written the human tropics biome, and you can see quite a difference. So the whole area of the site is 14 acres, and that's the 83,000 tonnes are spread across that. The Eden Project have, since its time of opening, been maintaining the soil nutrient content using regular fertiliser applications. However, this is proving quite expensive, and they've discovered that variable performance across the site, and this is owing to variable environmental conditions, management practices, and fertiliser applications. So my job was to look at how to create more consistency across the sites. And to do this, I prepared an artificial soil according to the protocol used within the humid tropics biome. We used lignite clay, sand, composted green waste and bark, and these are all components easily sourced throughout the southwest of England, and we wanted to cut down on the environmental impact on that, of bringing these components together. So we did these on a smaller scale than were originally produced, so we used a cement mixer, use the tools you've got. And created about 28 kilos of soil, packed it into four 1 meter columns for analyses. So the aim of this was to characterise the nutrient retention and storage capabilities of the artificial soils as used in the humid tropics biome at the Eden Project. To do this, we used the four soil columns and controlled the temperature conditions and also monitored the nutrient concentrations within the leachate regularly over 12 months. This is a picture of the columns, you can see, installed in the controlled temperature chamber. So the temperature was maintained at 15 degrees Celsius, which is an average found across the Eden Project site within the humid tropics biomes. And the irrigation water was maintained at pH 7. The watering regime was followed according to the Eden Project, and irrigation water was fed using drip irrigation, delivering approximately 80 millilitres of water per column per day. The, each column had a set of marbles placed atop, glass marbles, and this was as a means of helping to disperse the irrigation water and minimise the formation of preferential flow pathways within the columns. And then leachate was collected at the base on a regular basis. So the leachate collection was initially carried out on a daily basis for the first 3 weeks of the study, and then this was reduced to every 3 days and then weekly. Following 27 weeks of study, two of the columns were fertilised using a NPK fertiliser as found and used at the Eden Project. And then again, this was repeated with the same two columns following the 47th week of irrigation. The final step following 1 year of irrigation was to extrude the soils, and then we did carried out a depth profiling, although I'm not going into much detail on that today. We analysed the leachate for a range of nutrients. Today I'm going to focus on the total dissolved nitrogen and nitrate plus nitrite concentrations. We also measured the ammonium concentrations, however, we found these to be consistently below the limit of detection. So this graph shows the results from the unfertilised columns. We can see initially the green, which represents the nitrate plus nitrite concentrations, showed a rapid decrease in concentration. And from day 15, the concentration was approximately 0.5 micrograms per litre. However, the concentration for the TDN showed a much more gradual decline. And based on the results from the nitrate plus nitrite concentration, we estimate that following day 15, the TDN represents about 95% dissolved organic nitrogen. So this gradual decline, we think, was mainly owing to the higher charge of the organic nitrogen fraction, and so the leaching of it was more as an equilibration effect with the irrigation water. So this is what we expected from a closed system with no external inputs of nitrogen. However, what we saw next became quite interesting. So we saw a gradual increase in the nitrogen concentration. We think this is owing to, it appears to be driven by nitrate plus nitrite concentration. And in order to explain this, I turned to look at the components that the soil was originally made from. I looked at the carbon to nitrogen ratios of these and found that bark had a considerably higher nitrogen to carbon to nitrogen ratio than the soil itself, which suggests that in order for the bark to be decomposed, it would require for the nitrogen to be removed from the soil in order for the microbial population to utilise the carbon within the bark. And then at a time when the bark has reached a certain point in its decomposition, the nitrogen would then be released through cell lysis and decline of population. So then we took a look at the effect of fertilisation on the columns. We found that the nitrate plus nitrite concentration showed no significant difference for either of the fertiliser applications, so these results have been omitted from this graph. So this represents the total dissolved nitrogen concentration. We found after the first application, just to recap, it was two columns that were fertilised and two remained unfertilised. We found that after the first fertiliser application, there was no significant difference between the leachate from the two columns. This could perhaps be the fertiliser was having a sort of restorative effect and kind of replenishing the nitrogen that had been lost through the leaching and therefore being stored within the soil. However, the second application, following 47 weeks of irrigation, showed a significant increase in organic nitrogen within the leachate, suggesting that a high amount of labile nitrogen was present, and that the soil could no longer store or retain this nitrogen that was being added. So in summary, the inorganic nitrogen was found to be leached rapidly from the soil, whilst the organic nitrogen was released over a longer period of time. The bark component may have served as a substantial source of nitrogen after approximately 200 days. However, we need to do some more research to determine whether this is the case. Fertilisation significantly increased the labile organic nitrogen pool within the soil, as seen by the second fertiliser application. And the dissolved organic nitrogen profile indicates that the substantial loss occurred over a 12-month sampling period, which could impact water quality, particularly when extrapolated to the size of the Eden Project site. So to improve this, which is the next step of my project, we're going to look at reducing the loss of water from the soils, increasing the water holding capacity, and are exploring the possibility of biochar amendment to do this. Thank you for listening, and any questions?